Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, entitled Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka, text number 18 and 19. There's no proper to 18. So. Okay, let's switch on text 18.
Udhava-satyakaischaiva Udhava-satyakaischaiva
Vyajane
paramakute
Vikiryamana-kusumai
Vrejemaru-pati-pati
Word for word, please repeat. Udhava, the cousin brother of Krishna. Satyaki, his driver. Chan, and. Eva, certainly. Vyajane, engaged in fanning. Parama Adbhute, decorative. Vikirya Manaha, seated on scattered. Kusumai, flowers all around. Reje, commanded. Madhupati, the master of Madhu, Krishna. Pati, on the road. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Udhava and Satyaki began to fan the Lord with decorated fans, and the Lord, as the master of Madhu, seated on scattered flowers, commanded them along the road. Text 19.
Ashuryanta shasha satyas tatra tatra trijeritaha narupam rupascha nirgunascha gunatmanaha.
Translation and purpose. It was being heard here and there that the benedictions being paid to Krishna were neither befitting nor unbefitting, because they were all for the Absolute, who was now playing the part of a human being. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. At places there were sounds of Vedic benediction aiming at the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The benedictions were fitting in the sense that the Lord was playing the part of a human being, as if a cousin of Maharaj Yudhisthira. But they were also unfitting because the Lord is absolute and has nothing to do with any kinds of material relativities. He is nirguna, or there are no material qualities in him. But he is full of transcendental qualities in the transcendental qualities. In the transcendental world there is nothing contradictory, whereas in the relative world everything has its opposite. In the relative world, white is the opposite conception of black. But in the transcendental world, there is no distinction between white and black. Therefore, the sounds of benedictions uttered by the learned brahmanas here and there appear to be contradictory in relation with the Absolute Person. But when they are applied to the Absolute Person, they lose all contradiction and become transcendental. One example may clear this idea. Lord Sri Krishna is sometimes described as a thief. He is famous amongst his pure devotees as Makhanchola. He used to steal butter from the houses of neighbours at Vrindavan in his early age. Since then he is famous as a thief. But in spite of his being famous as a thief, he is worshipped as a thief. Whereas in the mundane world a thief is punished and is never praised. Since he is the Absolute Personality of Godhead, everything is applicable to him. And still, in spite of all contradictions, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jana.
Om Magyate Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Bhatalam Hangunlaive Tigurum Yakrita Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dhinataranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Translation. Translation again. It was being heard here and there that the benedictions being paid to Krishna were neither befitting nor unbefitting, because they were all for the Absolute, who is now playing the part of a human being. So unless one has knowledge of the Absolute, then one will find many seeming contradictions in the pages of the Shastra. You know, without proper understanding of Krishna or the absolute truth, then there is no chance of understanding these contradictions, these seemingly contradictory statements. You know, some people I meet on the street, they say, you know, if God exists, show me, I want to see Him. You know, if your God exists, tell Him to come and stand right in front of me. So, first thing I ask them is, okay, do you know what God looks like? You know, do you know what His qualities are? You know, and obviously their answer is no. So anyone could be standing in front of them. And because they have a lack of knowledge. So these seemingly contradictory statements in the Shastra, it's very important for us to understand them clearly in their perspective. Like, just take a couple of examples. Like, there's the verses in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You know, text number 4. You know, Krishna says, Mayam titam idam sarvam jagadavikta murtana matstani sarvabhutani nacha amteshvavastana. And by me in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And then in the next verse, you know, Krishna says, and yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation, for myself is the very source of creation. And so let's take a look at this. You know, Krishna says that in His unmanifested form, He pervades this entire universe. You know, and everything rests in Him. You know, in the second canto of Bhagavatam, it describes Krishna's Vishvarupa form. You know, His universal form, how everything is resting within the universal form of Krishna. And he says that everything that is created does not rest in Him. You know, that He is the maintainer of everything. But He is separate from this manifestation. You know, so there seems to be a contradiction here, but we understand that this is just describing the personal feature of the Absolute Truth. Of Krishna, you know how you know everything is coming from Krishna. He is the maintainer of everything. Yet, still, everything is within His body. You know, there is the famous verse from the Bhagavatam. Vedanti tatva vidas tatvam yajgana madvayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavanati shabdite. You know that the learned transcendentalists, they know the, understand the Absolute Truth in three features. You know, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So everything is the energy of the Absolute Truth. You know, everything is Krishna's energy. This is the understanding Brahman realization. You know, but the Bhagavan realization, the realization of Krishna is the Supreme Person, then they understand that actually he is separate from his, he is different from his creation. Like he's a supreme enjoyer. And I say he's in Goloka Vrindavan enjoying with his pastimes with his cowherd boyfriends and gopis. And so, another contradiction, or seemingly contradictory statement in the Shastras is when in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the third chapter, you know, yad yad acharati srestas tat tadeva taro jana sarya pramanam kurute lokas tada nivartite. That he says that whatever actions a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by his exemplary acts, the world pursues. So Krishna said this to Arjuna, you know, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But if we take a look at Krishna's life or Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, you know, we will see that Krishna, he engaged in the Rasa Leela, you know, with the wives of other men. You know, he brought them to the middle of the forest in the dead of night, and he engaged in loving pastimes with others' wives. He also stole the cloth of the clothes of the gopis. You know, this is not a very exemplary act for a great person to perform. And what to speak of, you know, as a kshatriya, when he was fighting against Jarasandha, he ran from the battlefield. You know, and this is against the codes of kshatriya, against the codes of warfare. You know, one should either die in battle, you know, or win the battle, you know, or become victorious. So but we understand that Krishna is transcendental to all moral codes in this material world. That he engages in these activities for the pleasure of his devotees. You know, there is also, Prabhupada gives the example in the purport here, how Krishna is known as Makhanchar, the thief who steals the butter from the houses of the gopis. You know, Krishna, he is always planning with Balaram and Madhumangal and Sudama and then Subal, you know, how to break into the houses of the neighboring gopis and steal the butter that they've churned. You know, so there's one pastime Krishna breaks into one of the gopis' houses to steal butter, and he gets caught. When they're trying to steal the butter, one of the elderly gopis, she walks in and she catches Krishna. You know, and she's like completely fed up because she's had enough. Krishna always comes to steal the butter that she churns. And that, so she says, right, this time I'm going to tell Mother Yashoda, you know, what you've been doing. You know, so she grabs Krishna by the hand. And, you know, Krishna's pleading her, please don't tell Mother Yashoda what I've been doing. You know, so that the gopis, no, I'm going to tell Mother Yashoda so she can chastise you, you know, properly for what you've been doing. So she takes Krishna by the hand to Mother Yashoda, and she starts telling Mother Yashoda, you know, Krishna's been such a naughty boy, he's been breaking into my house, stealing butter. And she explains to Mother Yashoda about all the naughty activities Krishna's been doing. And she looks down, and her own son is got in her hand. You know, she's shocked. You know? And so Mother Yashoda, she says, that I think you better be more conscious of who you're bringing to me. Yeah, it looks like your own son's been stealing butter. And then when Mother Yashoda walks away, her son transformed back again into Krishna. And Krishna said to her, do you want to be careful about what you say to Mother Yashoda? Next time, I'll transform into your husband. So, this is Krishna's leader, Makhantra. Now, Krishna is also, he's the supreme terrorist. And then no one is a greater terrorist than Krishna. But I was thinking, before we look into the acts of terrorism by Krishna, maybe we could look at the perverted reflection of the terrorism that is exhibited in this material world. You know, one of the greatest terrorists of all time, Adolf Hitler. You know, he, during World War II, it's said that he mercilessly slaughtered and murdered between 5.7 and 6 million Jews. He herded them into concentration camps. And engaged his men in mass slaughtering through gas chambers, through hot showers. They used to put them into like a warehouse and then just shower them with boiling water. He used to herd them into a field and just open fire. Get all his men just to shoot them down. It said that most of them, they died from being overworked and through starvation. And also many killer diseases which were rampant in these concentration camps. So this is Asuram Bhavimashrita. This is the atheistic nature of demons. That just so they can get their sense gratification, they do it at any means, at any cost. You know, Hitler, he was trying to wipe out an entire race, you know, just to establish the Aryan, what he thought was Aryan civilization, you know, as the one race, you know. But he was very wrong. There's also one South American dictator who, with his prisoners that he would capture, he used to pile them into an aeroplane, take them to 30,000 feet, and then push them out. That was his way of inflicting terror into people. And there's also the, maybe some a bit more close to home for some of you, the Tamil tigers, you know, in Sri Lanka. There was, I heard one story about this, the Tamil tigers, they wanted to assassinate one governor minister. So they got this pregnant lady to have bombs implanted in her breasts, you know, and she went to try and meet with this governor minister, and the guard that was at the door, he wouldn't let her go to see the minister, and so she detonated the bombs. You know, right there. And there's also the famous World Trade Center terrorist attack. You know, these it's said that people are very easily controlled under terror, when they're under fear. You know, so these personalities, they inflict terror into the hearts of these people so they can control them. So anyway, that's enough of hearing about the terrorist attacks of this mundane world. It's very sad. Very shocking. You know, I hate to think of the destination that these personalities go in their next life. But as I was saying, Krishna is a supreme terrorist. You see, he does all these activities, but he does them in a pure, everything that Krishna does is pure. So, you know, Krishna, he will sneak into the houses of the gopis and he will terrorize the little babies that are sleeping in the cots. He'll pull their ears when they're sleeping. You know, and they'll wake up screaming. You know, and Krishna will run away. You know, he'll break into the houses and he'll part into the neighbors' houses and he'll pass stool and urine on their altars. You know, and when the gopis, they threaten to tell Mother Yashoda, he then threatens to burn their house down. And he even terrorizes the calves. You know, he holds on to their tails. You know, and they become so frightened that they run away, but Krishna's hanging on and he gets pulled through the mud and water. You know, he even terrorizes Radharani. You know, and soon on Sunday I think we have the Julanyatra is starting. Is it Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sunday. So, the famous Transcendental Swing Festival of Krishna and Radharani. So, in Goloka Vrindavan, there is the julan, the swing, is made out of lotus flowers. Right, and this is no ordinary swing. You know, this swing, it can't just go backwards and forwards. It can go side to side. It can go round in circles. You know, it can even go 360 degrees around. You know, so Krishna, he is on the swing with Radharani. You know, the swing is being pushed by the gopis, and the swing is getting higher and higher. You know, and it gets so high. You know, Radharani, she becomes very frightened. You know, she becomes, and she grabs hold of Krishna's neck. You know, and Krishna's very happy that Radharani is so frightened that she grabs hold of him. So we have to understand that everything that Krishna does is, or everything in relationship to Krishna, and it is pure. That you know, some people ask us, you know, why we don't eat meat. You know, there we can say health reasons, we can say, you know, there's so many reasons on a mundane platform why we don't eat meat. You know, there's the, you know, it creates violence, social problems, it creates an environmental disaster. You know, the speeds up the greenhouse effect. Yeah, there's the health, you know, destroys the body, actually. Heart disease and bowel cancer, they all come from eating meat. You know, but ultimately, the ultimate reason is because Krishna doesn't want us to eat meat. You know, he says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. You know, so we do anything Krishna wants us to do. You know? And therefore, we become pure because we're following Krishna's direction. We understand what Krishna wants. Krishna is worshipped as a butter thief. There is so much rasa, so much mood of love and exchanges. This is the reason why Krishna performs these seemingly immoral activities, purely for engage in the just to stir the transcendental mellows of devotional service. You know, to increase the bhav, increase the ecstasy of his devotees. So I'll stop there. Is there any questions or comments? Anything you want to add? Yes.
About Vishnu's attack, so many minions. So, what was the motivation? Expansion of the.
He wanted to completely annihilate the race of Jewish people.
Why he was inimical to Jews?
I'm not actually sure. Is anyone else there? Does no way Hitler was so inimical towards the Jews? Sorry?
Why the Jews and not anyone else?
Yeah.
He also went against the people's disabilities.
Disabilities?
Yeah. And other people say,
Sri Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Chaitanya Sai Gopinath Ki Jai.